And I'm going to start with an idea that is found in two early sources. One of them is the Rashbats, Rabbi Shimshon Bar Tzemach, who was the Rav of Algiers, I think, in the early 1400s. And the other is the Megala Amukos, who was a very early Polish Kabbalist, the 1500s. They both state the same idea very briefly without fleshing it out. And I'll tell it over to you. It's the following. All right, the Haggadah says, "Keneged arba banim divrei Torah." The Torah spoke corresponding to four sons. Echad chacham, ve'echad rasha, ve'echad tam. One is wise, one is wicked, one is naive, let's say. Ve'echad she'eino yodei lishaul. And one is unable to ask. These two, the Rashbats and the Megala Amukos, say that the four sons correspond to the arba she'nichnusu lepardes. The four Tanoim who entered the Pardes, the orchard. You probably all know the basic story, but let me go through it very briefly. The Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yudal and Lebeis, says, Arba nichnusu lepardes. Four people went into the orchard. What does that mean? Rashi and Tosfos disagree as to a certain detail, but what it means, according to everybody, is they were in a state in which they had a very intense feeling of the presence of the Shekhinah. Okay? Rashi says they left this earth. They were somewhere else, some other dimension, I don't know. Tosfos says, no, they were here. It was a mental state they were in. It didn't affect them physically. But nevertheless, they experienced the perfect unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we, in our lifetimes, never experience. Now, the four of them reacted differently. Rabbi Akiva came out better than when he went in. He grew from the experience. Elisha ben Avuya, who was one of the greatest Tanoim of his time, contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, he became an Epicurus. Ben Azai died, and Ben Zoma went insane. Okay? So, the Rashbats and the Megala Amukos tell us that the four sons correspond to the Arba she'nichnusu lepardes, and they don't identify, they don't connect the dots for us, but it's not difficult. Obviously, the wise son is Rabbi Akiva. Obviously, the bad son is Elisha ben Avuya Acher. The one who died, Ben Azai, Tom. Tom can mean perfect. Tom can mean naive. Tom can mean finished. Okay? And the one who went insane, he can't ask questions probably. He doesn't think logically anymore. Okay? So we have matched up the four sons with the four Tanoim who entered the Pardes. Yes?
Didn't Elisha become Epicurus because he saw he sent his son up to fetch the...
Remind me of this somewhere along the way. Remind me of this at the end if I don't get to it in the middle. Okay? Yeah, the Gemara does say that. It all points to the same thing, but we'll get to that. All right. So now, what I've been trying to work on, on and off at this time of year for the past couple of years, is how the four paragraphs of the Haggadah that are about the four sons correspond or allude to these four personalities in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. So tonight, I'm going to just talk about the wicked son, who is Elisha ben Avuya. All right. What's his question? Ma avodah hazos lochem. What is this worship to you? Why do you bother with this worship? All right. Let's talk about this question. First, Elisha ben Avuya, he has a nickname. We generally don't refer to him by his full name. His nickname is Acher, the other. How did he get this nickname? The Gemara tells us the story. After he went off the derech, so he approached a prostitute and wanted to hire her. And she said, "One second, aren't you Elisha ben Avuya? I mean, I didn't expect a client like you." And it was Shabbos. And he went and he picked a radish out of the ground on Shabbos. He did a malach on Shabbos. So she said, "Oh, you must be Acher. You must be somebody else. You must be another." So that's the name that stuck with him. He is the Acher, the other. Now, there is somebody else in Tanakh who gets the same nickname. And this isn't as well known. Everybody knows that Elisha ben Avuya is Acher, but there's another Acher. This is pointed out by Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, the early 13th century German mystic, Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov asks Lavan for Rachel's hand in marriage. So Yaakov says, "Evadcha sheva shanim v'Rachel bitcha ktana. I'll work for you for 7 years for Rachel, your little daughter." So next pasuk. Vayomer Lavan. Lavan said, "Tov titi osa lachmi, titi osa lishacher. Better I should give her to you than I should give her to another man. Shivayim adi. Stay with me. Yeah, work for me." Right. And by Avod Yaakov, Rachel sheva shanim. Yaakov worked for Rachel for 7 years. All right. So Lavan says, "Better you than anybody else." All right. You can take that at face value. You know, I look at the entire array of young men in the world. Nobody I'd rather have for my son-in-law is you. Simple pshat. Okay. Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChosid, in his, this is his approach to Chumash in general, looking for gematrias and Rashi Tevos and all kinds of things like that, he sees that Lavan had a specific candidate in mind. And he looks at the Rashi Tevos of the pasuk I just quoted to you. Let me read the pasuk again. Vayomer Lavan, Lavan said, "Tov titi osa loch, better I should give her to you, mititi osa leish acher, than that I give her to another man, shva imadi, stay with me." The next pasuk, Vayavod Yaakov, Yaakov worked. Now, he takes some of these words and he darshens their Rashi tables. Vayomer Lavan, "Tov titi osa loch, better I should give her to you." Next three words, mititi osa leish, than that I should give her to a man. First three letters, mem aleph lamed. Better I mem aleph than to, right? Better I should give her to you than to. Next word, acher, to another. And who is that acher? Look at the next three words. Shiva imadi, stay with me. Vayavod Yaakov, and Yaakov worked. The next three words, Shiva imadi vayavod, Rosh Tevos, Shin Ayin Vav, rearrange them, you got Esav. So, better I should give her to you than to the other. And who's the other? Esav. And why is Esav called the other? So, Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChosid says, because he's a big phony. He's a phony in a couple of ways. Esav is Rome, and Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChosid, I think this is a Medrash, says that Rome is basically a big phony. They took over Greek culture and they tweaked it a little bit and they called it their own. They don't have any culture of their own. They took the culture of the nations that they conquered and claimed took the best of it and took it as their own. He's also, you know, if we compare Esav to a pig who shows his, on the outside, his exterior signs of kashrus, right? Whereas on the inside, he doesn't swallow his cud. He makes a show like he's very moral. You know, he looks down on these Israelis who are, you know, persecuting the Palestinians. They're more moral than we are, right? But, you know, it's all hypocrisy. Esav is a phony. So now, we have Elisha ben Avuya and Esav get the same title. Acher. What do they have in common other than that they're considered bad guys? What do they have in common? All right. Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains what the nature of Elisha ben Avuya's religious mistake was. Elisha ben Avuya had this experience in the Pardes where he sensed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence much more intensely than we do. Okay, than he normally did. He thought he was really there with God's unity. In other words, intellectually you accept Hashem Echad, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is absolute unity. Ah, but then where am I if I'm not Hashem? So we say intellectually we accept that. In our experience, Hashem made our reality that we are living in a world with distinct entities, and we don't feel ourselves as part of Hashem. Hashem is an entity to whom we relate. Okay? So we believe, we have faith in Hashem's perfect unity, but our experience is not there. Our experience is we relate to Hashem, we're not part of Hashem. Elisha ben Avuya, because of what he underwent in the Pardes, thought, oh, I merged with God's perfect unity. I'm there. And on the level where I am, there's no good and bad, there's no sins and mitzvahs, there's no tummy and tahor. Everything is part of the perfect unity of Hashem, and therefore I don't have to do anything. I'm not bound by all these commandments. These commandments are for people who are on a plane of reality where they relate to God. I am God. I'm one with Him. Mitzvahs don't apply where I'm holding. Okay? And, was going to relate to the question you asked, where you saw the man...
Where he sends his son up to get...
The Gemara says that what made him go off the derech, another incident, right, where the Torah promises you long life for two mitzvahs, for sending away the bird, you know, for the mother bird when you take the eggs, and for listening to your parents. So Elisha ben Avuya saw a guy whose father told him, go climb that tree and send away the birds and bring me the eggs, right? The two mitzvahs that you're promised long life for. And the guy, when he fell off the tree and broke his neck?
Yeah.
Right. And he thought, according to Reb Tzaddok, that means he thought, oh, here's a man who lives on... The Torah is right. But this man is like me. He's one of the exceptions. He's living in a world without reward and punishment. There are people to whom the Torah doesn't apply. Right? Like me. There's him. You can live this way. Okay? The Torah is one track. There's another track. Okay? Now, what was Esav? What were Esav's religious beliefs? So, Rav Tzaddik HaKohen is a student of the Ishvitz Rebbe, and then there's a Sefer of the Beis Yaakov by the son of the Ishvitz Rebbe. These people got the same education. So, the Beis Yaakov points to a Rashi in Parshas Toldos, when Yaakov bought the Bechora from Esav. So what does Esav say? Vayomer Esav. Esav said, "Hinei anichni holeich lamus. Behold, I'm going to die. V'lama zeli bechora. What do I need the birthright for?" What underlies that statement? So Rashi says that there was the conversation here was it's not all recorded in the Chumash. There was another aspect to the conversation. Esav says, I'm going to die, what do I need the Bechorah for? First of all, it doesn't seem to make sense. I'm going to die, what do I need the Bechorah for? Well, you're going to die, what do you need the anything for? What? Rashi explains. Amar Esav. Esav said to Yaakov. First Yaakov informed Esav that the Bechors are going to do the Avoda, the service in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, right? And so Esav asks, Ma tiva shel avodazu? What's the nature of this worship that you're going to do? Amar lo, so Yaakov told him, Kama azhoros v'onshin umisos teluyin ba. Many prohibitions and punishments and death penalties are involved in this avoda here that I want to buy from you. So Esav says, Ani alech lemusa yada. I'm going to die if I keep this bechora. What do I need it for? Please take the bechora. What is he rejecting? Avoda. I don't want avoda. Okay, so now the Beis Yaakov says, and he's got, I'm sure he has more rias for this, but on this point, the Beis Yaakov says, you know what Esav's mindset was? Esav's a big hypocrite. You know, somebody can be in low life and say, yeah, you know, spirituality, it's all very fine and good, but it's hard. I don't like it. I'd rather have a good time, so I'm not interested in spirituality. Okay? Now, you got to give people like that at least credit for being honest, but if you're a person like that, you're admitting you are a lowlife, okay? I prefer to live like a behemoth. Esav had too much class for that. He had to rationalize how he was rejecting the avoda and being a great man at the same time. So what did he say? This is the Beis Yaakov says this. Esav's rationalization was, avoda? Avoda isn't for people like me. Avoda is for people who aren't always experiencing God's unity. So when they're on that level, they need to do certain things to connect, and they need to avoid certain things so as not to, you know, break their link. But me? I'm so perfect. I'm beyond all that. Exactly what Elisha ben Avuya was thinking, right? And, by the way, be aware, the spiritual descendants of Esav, it is Christianity, right? And I'm not expert in Christian doctrine or anything like that, but it seems to me, from everything I've read and everything I've seen, that Christianity is very much like this. Christianity says, well, that Old Testament with all its commandments and everything, that's outmoded. We're above all that. You have the right belief, everything you do can be forgiven. It's all okay, as long as you believe the right things. What you do doesn't really matter. Okay? Very close to what Reb Tzadok is attributing to Elisha ben Avuya, and the Beis Yaakov is attributing to Esav. And let me add here one more thing. This is a gematria that I noticed. Ish Sodeh in gematria is... the Pasuk says, Yaakov Ish Tom Yoshev Ohalim. Yaakov was a perfect man, dwelt in tents. The Esav Ish Sodeh, a man of the field. And the gematria of Ish Sodeh, a man of the field, without restraints. Ish Sodeh in the field, no restraints, right? Equals Elisha ben Avuya Acher. Ish Sodeh equals Elisha ben Avuya Acher. Okay? You want to say it's a coincidence? Okay, I can't prove that it isn't. Now, let us get back to the Haggadah. What does the bad son, Elisha ben Avuya, what's his question? Ma ha'avodah hazos lochem. What are you guys doing the avoda for? In other words, he's not denying that there is such a thing as an avoda. But he says, well, I'm on so much higher level than you, you know? Why don't you people get into the express lane? And you won't, you know, here you have the whole family together. I think on Pesach night, there are either 17 or 18 mitzvahs deraisa that you do at the Seder when there's a Korban Pesach. It is the mitzvah night of all nights. Now, you say Asher Kedishonu Mitzvah Tzivonu more at the Seder than you do at any other time of the year, right? Mitzvahs, mitzvahs, mitzvahs. And this Elisha ben Avuya is sitting there at the Seder and says, what do you need this for? You're living life on such a low level, right? Be like me, and you'll be above. Your whole life is going to be one big mitzvah, right? What do you need this for? I'm so much higher than you. Let me add one other point here before we go on. I'm going to tell you a vort from the Bnei Yisoskor, and I'm going to add my 2 cents worth. Okay. Last week's parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us what to expect, what to do when we conquer Eretz Yisrael. So he says, make sure you don't make peace with the seven nations there. They're going to mess you up. Ki yasmiz b'chotzam titotzun. You will smash their altars. Ves matzevosam tishavirun. And their worshipping stones you will break. Ves asherov tichrosun. And you'll chop down their idolatry trees. Because you will not bow down to another god. Le'el acher. The resh in the word acher is big. You look in the Sefer Torah, that's one of those big letters. And the Bnei Yisoskor points out that another one of these big letters is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. The Dalad of Echod is a big letter. So he says, why are these letters big letters? He says, well, in Cheder, when the Rebbe teaches the kids Aleph Beis, he draws these letters, Davka, real big, because they're confusing. They look a lot like each other, right? So he goes to the blackboard, and he draws a really big Dalet, and he draws a really big resh, and he says, you see over here that corner at the top? They look a lot alike, but they really are different. It's confusing, right? And he says, it's possible to take keel achod and make out of it el acher. What does that mean? Exactly what I'm telling you about Elisha ben Avuya, right? Yes, we believe Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but we put it in the right proportion. We're not there. It's something we believe. It's an absolute state of being, but we're not in it, right? And if you say that you are there with Hashem Echad, you're turning him into an El Acher. That's an Avodah Zorah. Then you're denying the real presence of God as he is with you. Right? It's very easy to take that achod and make an acher out of it. Right? You start saying, oh, I'm on the achod level, you are acher. You're a phony. It's not true. Nobody's there in this lifetime. Okay? So now, let's go a bit further in this paragraph about the Rasha. And look at some more connections with Elisha ben Avuya. Rasha mahu omer. What does the Rasha say? Ma avodah hazos lachem. What is this worship for you? Lachem velo lo. He's saying this. It is for you, and it's not for me. Right? He's not saying it's not for anybody. He agrees, for you, where you people are holding, you've got to do mitzvahs. Lachem. I'll acknowledge that. Below low, but not me. Not all right. Since he's taken himself out of the klal, the public, he is saying, I'm not living on the same plane as everybody else. I'm living on a different plane. I'm not part of the klal. I'm not together with you. We're living in different dimensions. You say that? Kofar ba'ikr, you're the biggest kofar. You're bragging that you're with Hashem Echad. You're denying God's presence. Okay, va'afata, and you too, hakei es shinov, blunt his teeth. Ve'amorlo, and tell him, ba'avurze asa Hashem li b'tzeis Yisrael. On account of this, Hashem acted for me when I he did it for me when I went out of Egypt. Li v'lolo, for me and not for him. Strange terminology. Hakei es shinov, blunt his teeth. Strange words. That verb koha kuf hey hey. I think it only appears one more time in the Mishnah. Let me read you a Mishnah from Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalad. Elisha ben Avuya Omer, the only time he's mentioned by name in Mishnayos. Elisha ben Avuya says, Halomed Yelet Lamahu Domeh, someone who learns as a boy when he's young, what's he like? Lidyo Chesuva al Niar Chadosh. It's like ink written on fresh paper. It's clear, it's lasting. Okay? By the way, I'll tell you from experience, this is true. Learn now. Memorize now. It will stay with you. All right. V'halomeid zokein l'mahu domeh, and somebody who learns when he's old, what is he like? Lidyo kesuva al niyar machuk. He's like ink written on paper that has already had something written on it before and it was erased, and now you're writing on it for the second time, where it's not clear, it's not that lasting. Okay. One of the Rishonim says this, that Elisha ben Avuya authored this Mishnah after he went off the Derech already. Right? He still used to learn Torah. He was like these apikursim that you hear about from the great Litvish yeshivas, and I'm sure this is true, where they went off the Derech, but they liked learning Gemara so much, they sit down Shabbos with a Gemara and smoking a cigarette. Yeah, things like that happen. Right? Elisha ben Avuya was like that. He still taught Torah to his student, Rabbi Meir. Right? But he says, when you learn when you're young, which is his heyday, when he was big, right? That's clear. That's good stuff. Okay? Next Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Ish Kfar HaBavli Omer. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says, Halomeid min haktanim lemahu domeh, someone who learns from small people, what's he like? Le'ochel anavim kehos, it's like he's eating unripe grapes. V'shoseh yayin migito, and he's drinking wine fresh out of the wine press. V'halomeid min hazakenim lemahu domeh, but if you learn from older people, what do you like? Le'ochel anavim bishulos, it's like eating ripe grapes. V'shoseh yayin yashan, and drinking vintage wine. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda disparages learning from the young and praises learning from the old. And what is learning from the young like? Le'ochel anavim kehos. I translated that as eating unripe grapes. That's, in context, that's an okay translation. But kehos really means you clench your teeth. It makes your teeth blunt. Same word as hakeh-es-shinov. Right? And I see this as a response to Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya says, boy, when I was young, I tore up the yeshiva, man. Learn, when I was young, clear, right? Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says, you learn the Torah from people who are too small, it's all half-baked. It makes you clench your teeth. Now, I don't know, again, I'm not sure what that means, what this use of the same word, what the significance is, but it's got to be more than coincidence, and I'll tell you something else. In Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu comes back to Eretz Yisrael after 22 years with Lavan, and he meets up with Esav, it says about Esav Vayishakehu, that he kissed Yaakov. And there are dots on the word Vayishakehu. So it's machlokas in the Medrash how we're supposed to interpret those dots. One manomer is he was really sincere. All his hatred melted away for that one moment, and he really felt brotherly love for him, and he kissed him sincerely. The other manomer says that he intended to bite him. But what happened? I've seen two sources. The Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu's neck turned into marble and Esav's teeth broke. The other source says that Esav's teeth turned into wax and they dissolved. In any event, we have two people in the Torah who clearly had to go to the dentist. Esav and the bad son, Hakeh Eschinov, Elisha ben Avuya. There's something there about teeth. Okay. Next, and I think final point, what do we tell him? Again, back to the Haggadah. Bavur zeh ha-she'osah Hashem li. Li v'lo lo. Your answer, how do you blunt his teeth? You say, on account of this, Hashem acted for me. For me, not you. You know what this reminds me of? A story in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi also, in Chagiga Davka, has a big section on Esav. And there's one story there that's not in the Bavli. It says that, oh, I skipped a step. Next Mishnah. And there are two girsas in this Mishnah. I'll read to you both girsas. This is after Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda said, "When you don't learn from the young people, right? It's like it's half-baked. It's unripe." And it could be viewed as a criticism of learning from Elisha ben Avuya. Next Mishnah, two girsas. One is Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says. The other is Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi says. Okay, well, let me continue. Al tistakein, tistakel bekankan, ele b'mashi yeshbo. Don't look at the bottle, look at the contents. All right. Now, that's either Rabbi Meir talking or Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi talking. Now, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had had respect for Elisha ben Avuya's learning. Rabbi Meir remained his student even after he went off the derech. He learned Torah from him and he tried to get him to do tshuva. Okay, but he always held Elisha ben Avuya for his Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, let me tell you a story that the Gemara in Chagiga says. It says that after Elisha ben Avuya died, a woman came to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the leader of the Jewish people at that time, asking for tzedakah. and she said that she was the daughter of Elisha ben Avuya. And Rebbe was astonished. He says, what? He has living children? He quotes a pasuk in Eov about how big Rishayim, their descendants are going to die. And she said, Rebbe, don't look at his actions, look at his Torah. And then a fire came down from the sky and scorched the bench that Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi was sitting on. And presumably, he gave her a nice check. The end of the story is he scorched the bench. But I gather that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had a healthy respect for Elisha ben Avuya after that incident, at least for his Torah. Okay? So now, this series of three Mishnayos. Elisha ben Avuya says, ooh, the Torah of young guys, ooh. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says, Torah of young guys, half baked. Either Rabbi Meir or Rebbe says, in defense of the Torah of Elisha ben Avuya, don't look at the container, look at the content, right? And either one of those two were people who had respect for Elisha ben Avuya's Torah. Okay, now on to the next point. Next point, we tell this Ben Rosha, we tell Elisha ben Avuya, Bavur zeh asah Hashem li, li v'lo lo, Hashem did it for me, not for you. Okay? I'll tell you now what this reminds me of. The story in the Yerushalmi about Elisha ben Avuya, it says that one year Yom Kippur fell on Shabbos. So that Yom Kippur, Elisha ben Avuya got on his horse and rode up to Har Abayis and rode in the Kodesh Kadoshim. Really, Davka, right? Either that, or he wanted to make a statement about how close to God he was. Either one, whatever it was. A bit inappropriate, I would say. Right? So, and when he was there, he heard a baskol. Remember, this is Yom Kippur. So the baskol says, Shuvu banim shovin. Repent, misbehaving children. Chutz me'acher. Except acher. Elisha ben Avuya hears this. Okay, let me tell you Rav Tzadok HaKohen's take on that story. This is in a sefer that Rav Tzadok HaKohen wrote called Takonas HaShovin. It's the best sefer on tshuva I have ever read, by far, with the possible exception of Rambam Zilpah Hillel's tshuva. But the main theme of the sefer, I can tell it to you in one sentence, the main theme of the sefer. Never feel guilt wherever you are, whatever you may have done. You're still alive. The Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to do your best in this particular situation. That's the theme of it. Doesn't matter what you did. Yeah, you did something. Do tshuva. Hashem wants your tshuva. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel depressed. Understand your problem. Fix it. Okay? And he says, there's no such thing as a situation in which you can't do tshuva. No. If you're alive, Hashem wants something from you. All right. Then he says, what about this Gemara that Elisha ben Avuya is over there on Har Abayis and he hears the baskol chutz me'acher? And he says, don't you realize? Well, Elisha ben Avuya didn't, but if you think about it, if Elisha ben Avuya, if his life was all over, that means they don't care about him anymore. They wouldn't talk to him. He's a nobody, right? If he hears a heavenly voice saying chutz me'acher, that means somebody wants him to listen. He should have realized that. Alright, the first thing you hear, chutz me'acher, oh, you think it's all over. But then he should have had enough sense to listen. Why are they telling me this? If I'm a nobody, if my life is practically done, why am I hearing heavenly voices? It must be that they still hear about me. And they just want to shake me up. Right? So, the way you try to shake Elisha ben Avuya up to realize what he's doing is you say, it's all over for you! Hey, if it's all over for me, what are you shouting at me for? It's all over, don't waste your breath. If you're shouting at me, that means it's really not all over for me. What do we tell the Ben Rosha? Li, velo lo, Hashem saves me, not you. Oh, what do we want to do? The same thing as with Acher. Right? You shake him up. Look where you are. Where you are, it's all over. Yeah, not exactly. I wouldn't be shouting at you if it was really all over. All right, but as far as this year goes tonight, Rabbi Say, it's all over. Have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. I don't know who I'll be seeing on Sunday or if I'll be here on Sunday.